What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018, getting on toward the end of the month here, getting toward Memorial Day and the official start of summer here. We have got a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. So let's get on into it, starting with the war zone over in Syria. Apparently, a drone of supposedly unknown origin tried to attack the Russian airbase at Khmeimim, and apparently there were multiple drones, and they were all shot out of the sky by Russian air defenses, and the Russian Defense Ministry is out there saying that an unmanned aircraft of unknown origin has been shot down near the airbase in Syria. No one was injured in the incident, and the base did not sustain any damage. Well, Russia is apparently presuming the drone is coming from the rebels, because the Russian military basically uncorked over the Idlib governorate, targeting several areas controlled by the jihadi rebels in the western part of the province. And the airstrikes, cruise missiles, they really unloaded. And the Russian military began their attack by launching several airstrikes over Idlib City, Idlib Central Prison, Al-Mastoma, Ariha, and Sheikh Ali. And following the airstrikes, the source stated the Russian Navy fired a number of cruise missiles towards the same areas. So basically they're saying this was retaliation for the drone attack, and quite a strong one. And whoever was behind the drone, if we assume it was the jihadi rebels, they may think twice before trying that one again. If, on the other hand, it was an Israeli drone, it's not like they're going to care what the aftermath was here. As of right now, the Syrian army has full control of metropolitan Damascus after ISIS finally pulled on out. So Damascus is secured. Daraa is next. Assad has won this war. He's really won this war. And the U.S. is looking basically at their first military defeat since Vietnam. That's what's going on here. And the U.S. is trying to figure out a way to either turn the tide and get back in and just go after Assad, or a graceful way to exit Syria without it looking like the defeat that it actually is. But the U.S. was in Syria for, seven going on 8 years, trying to change the government, and they failed. This is a military defeat, and the result is that the wheels could come off the war wagon entirely because of this. So we're seeing these unmanned aerial vehicle attacks, little skirmish kind of things going on, nothing major right now. Mike Pompeo, in his first major speech as U.S. Secretary of State, Pompeo threatened Iran with the strongest sanctions in history unless they withdraw their forces from Syria and end support for Hezbollah and Hamas. So he's out there talking tough. He's trying to get Iran out of Syria. Iran responded by saying it is the illegal foreign troops that must leave Syria, the troops that are not there with the permission of the Syrian government. And apparently the Syrian army is now starting to round up some of these foreign troops to kick them out of the country. They've apparently detained 300 of the French military. And they're going to say au revoir and bon voyage and send them on back to France. But the Syrian government does want these illegal foreign troops out, and that, of course, obviously includes the United States of America. Now, there's been yet another discovery of NATO weapons that's been found in a vast stock of NATO weapons by the Syrian military. And some of the gear was meant for protection against chemical weapons. So the assumption here is that, yes, somebody somewhere is preparing for another false flag chemical weapon attack with which to justify a renewed aggression against Syria. We're going to take a phone call here from Raleigh in Minnesota. Aloha, Raleigh. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, there's a cultural development that's really been bothering me lately, and it's this idea of wondering which way somebody voted after a massacre. You know, identity politics in America is really toxic. I'm talking about like nuclear waste sort of toxic. And this guy, Demetrius Papadastros, who was not old enough to vote, there's these memes out there of him wearing a Hillary Clinton 2016 hat. And it's absolutely outstanding that that's the worst, that's the first thing that people come up with, was what's their political identity after a mass shooting, you know, with these school shootings. And there's been reports saying that this guy was a neo-Nazi because there was an iron cross on his trench coat, but he had a lot of symbols on his trench coat. He put a Twitter post of his trench coat, and it had the Iron Cross on his left breast pocket, and he also
yes.
had the hammer and the sickle on the collar, and he had the Cthulhu, you know, from H.P. Lovecraft, and he had a pentagram
yeah.
as well. So people are saying, you know, he was an LGB lefty pinko, and other people are saying that he's a Nazi right winger, you know, on Twitter, and it's just so counterproductive, you know, like there's really no place for that, you know, and people are so worried and so entrenched and so tribal, schoolyard bully mentality that we don't even think of each other as being an Americans ourselves.
No, you're absolutely right. It's just more divisiveness. This kid was wearing those pins because he thought they were cool. They're mildly offensive to people. He was probably trolling for some reactions. I remember when I was a kid and these things weren't actually being banned, a lot of kids would wear the Nazi regalia that was brought home by their relatives from World War II. And it wasn't really that big a deal. It didn't make us Nazis. We were just out there saying, you know, hey, we've got a relic. Right now everybody is gearing up for the midterm elections, and they're using anything they can grab onto to try and score political points. Our nation has become so totally dominated by the political process that we can't get anything else done. And that includes the political correctness issue. Now it's turning out, though, apparently this kid may not have been responsible for all the deaths in that school. The police are admitting that some of the students and teachers may have actually been shot by police officers in the crossfire. Apparently the officers weren't checking their targets before they pulled the trigger. So they're waiting for the autopsy reports on that. They're looking through the school security cameras to build up a timeline. But they're now saying that some of the victims may have actually accidentally been killed by the police.
Absolutely amazing that that happened. So like the 10 deaths, he might not even be responsible for all of those. But he did put out a tweet posting, like you just said, given a definition for each individual symbol, and he said the hammer is sickle as part of his rebellion, and the rising sun is kamikaze tactics, and Iron Cross is bravery, and Baphomet, the goat head symbol of Luciferianism, was for evil, and Cthulhu was for power as well. And, you know, all those clash, and, you know, with a kid that has teenage angst, you don't necessarily have that sort of political, you know, stability to know to distinguish the difference between the two, or even care, really. Like, for example,
you're absolutely right. It's just something to be rebellious, to shock the parents, to try and stake out his own identity. But again, I want to find out if this kid was on prescription psychiatric medication, because he was clearly showing signs of depression.
Definitely, and he had a lot of pins on him, you know, and that definitely may have been a cry for help or to establish some sort of identity. He also liked to wear the symbol for bisexual pride, which is the heart, and he flipped it upside down. And he also had Born to Kill t-shirt, and he would wear the peace sign, which reminded me a lot of Full Metal Jacket with the Joker character, where he was competing between these two ideologies of growing up here in the Flower Power era, and he's Born to Kill, you know, drafted, you know, ready, lean, mean, killing machine, Marine, you know, and battling those two because he, the kid, Demetrius, did some sort of river dancing, like cultural dancing, you know, for Greek, you know, people as well. So he was involved with a lot of, like, artsy things as well. He wasn't all into ammo and guns and survival and stuff like that, you know. But he did have a
early
side
on,
to
him. An honor student, he was on the junior varsity football team, and then all of a sudden he goes downhill. Again, to me, that suggests the pattern following doctor prescribing him antidepressants. They love to hand those things out. The one experience I had with antidepressants, and it was a very bad one, I didn't ask for them. I didn't even say I was depressed. I was at the doctor's for a totally unrelated medical issue. And the doctor just said, you know, how are you doing? Because I was in the process of breaking up with my first wife. And I said, well, you know, can't remain entirely cheerful. And she said, well, here, let me give you a prescription for blah, 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 blah. I can't remember which one it was she gave me. And I had a very negative reaction to that. And I will never, ever take those medications again.
Now that you mention it, Mike, I'm pulling up a photo of him. And he does look calm as a Hindu cow. He has this look of, like, serenity.
That's a good phrase. I like that.
He has, like, red eyes a little bit, and he has, like, this little smirk on his face, and he does have acne on his face. You know, that's another sign. And he looks like he could be on Xanax or something along the lines. I haven't really studied that, but I'm just judging by these pictures that he has of him. I think you're right with that. He could be on psychotropic medicines.
Yeah, again, it's an open issue, and it's a reasonable question given all the evidence about the link between these medications and acts of otherwise insane violence.
Absolutely correct, and they're probably going to come up with some sort of solutions for this. You know, we got to get rid of the big pharmaceutical companies. That's killing our children. If you can't deal with a child, you don't need to be raising a child. Where do we get this idea as a society to give our kids pills just to calm them down? I got 5 children myself, and I'm 33 years old, you know, and I just hear them out, listen to them, you know, play with them. You know, if you take them out in the woods and play with them for a little while, that solves a lot of problems, especially like with behavior. If they're showing some sort of sign of psychopathy or something along the lines of that, you know, just giving them attention and playing with them and taking them outdoors and teaching them life skills. That way they don't feel depressed and ever need to take medicines.
Well, you know, looking at the history of the kid from the Texas school incident, his parents obviously were doing a good job. He had been an honor student and was on the junior varsity football team. That sounds to me like they're raising a good child. They may have been talked into these medications by their physician, who may be getting a kickback from the pharmaceutical company. And the medications may have just put this kid into a bad place, and they would have prescribed more medication. It can become a real cycle. Some years ago, when I was researching my article on the link between these drugs and violence, I read this tragic story about a young lady in Great Britain who was perfectly normal, perfectly happy, fully functional, had a job, had a life, and the doctor just said, let's try this. It's going to make you feel better. And she had a negative reaction, and the doctor's response was, well, we'll try this other medication, and then we'll try this other medication. Not once was the idea of pulling her off these medications proposed, and they literally drugged her into a mental breakdown, and she wound up in a mental hospital. To me, that shows the utter callousness with which the medical industrial complex is treating ordinary people.
And the type of kickbacks you're talking about all expensive paid trips to advertise some sort of medication you know, by the big pharma. And that includes, like, your wife and kids. So they're down in Florida, you know, talking about a product. And they definitely have a different mindset than most of us. They're worried about the Ferrari payments. I'm worried about my car breaking down when I drive. You know, it's a different mindset, you know, between these physicians and us. Doesn't the general attorney actually wear a military uniform himself?
No, I don't believe a military uniform is required because a civilian can take the position. The term general is not a military one in that context, like surgeon general, attorney general, and so forth. Anyway, Raleigh, we're going to let you go. I got to get back to the news here. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network now. We're talking about the war zones. And getting on back to Bloody Monday Massacre, the outrage is still being expressed around the world. And there's an interesting article that came out of Global Research up in Canada. They do really good work. They're a reliable resource. And basically, they're reporting that the authorization for the IDF snipers to kill Palestinian children came down from the very top of the Israeli government. The Israeli government came up with the rules of engagement, and the rules of engagement were it's okay to kill kids, including that eight-month-old baby. Now, a Palestinian diplomat has called on Arab nations to cut ties with any country that moved their embassies in Israel to Jerusalem. So the tensions are building up over that. All right, another phone call here. Kevin in West Virginia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike, I hope you're having a great and wonderful day, and I hope Claire is too. I wanted to touch on you were talking about mental health, and I wanted to give you a personal story and as well as some other things too. I've told you before, I'm losing my eyesight. I have, you know, retinitis pigmentosa. Of course, if anybody's losing their eyesight, they're going to be depressed. You know, I would hope somebody, you know, that's a natural response. But they put me on some type of serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and I would lose, I tried it for a couple weeks, and I would lose all consciousness. I would fall asleep and wake up not knowing what I was doing. I would be drool coming out of my mouth because I was so inebriated from this medication. It was horrible, and I felt horrible. I was edgy, you know, and no matter what pill that they gave me, it was worse. Oh, let's try this. Well, we're going to try that, like you said a minute ago. You know, every time, well, this medication doesn't work. It's, you know, I'm a zombie. Well, let's try this. I mean, my question is, do these doctors get kickbacks for putting you on these medications, or is it, well, let's try to find, quote unquote, a magical bullet to help you?
No, the pharmaceutical industries reimburse doctors, or they offer incentives to doctors to sell more of their medications. Some of them are just flat-out direct payments. Others are invitations to attend medical conferences, all expenses paid. It could be a real racket. And we had a story, I think, last week where this one doctor was finally arrested and charged for telling patients they had cancer, or rather arthritis, when they did not, in order to prescribe and sell them medications for which he was getting a kickback from the pharmaceutical companies. It's a racket. Healthcare in this country is no longer about healthcare. It's been turned into another racket like everything else.
I agree. And then you were, I wanted to a comment on this embassy move with Israel, and I know you called it Bloody Monday, and I agree with you, you know. My two questions about the embassy move, you know, A, what purpose did this serve? You know, what's the purpose? And B, why now are my two questions.
Well, Israel has been lobbying the United States for decades to move their embassy to Jerusalem to sort of symbolically cement Israel's ownership over Jerusalem, even though the United Nations has declared Jerusalem a international city that must be shared among the four major religions whose holy sites are there. But Israel has always coveted Jerusalem any way they can get it, and they wanted the U.S. embassy there. Okay, we got to take a break. Stay on the line, Kevin. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before we go back to Kevin here, just a quick reminder, Republic Broadcasting needs your help. For some reason, all the people with big money are supporting the liars in order to get more of your money. And as a result, we who are out here trying to get the truth out to you, well, we need your help. We need the little money to unite together in opposition to the big money. So if you can help Republic Broadcasting, even just a little tiny bit, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas. And the phone number, and this is actually changed here, is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, and after business hours, it's extension 3. So please help out. Now, Kevin, we were talking about the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Israel has been wanting this for a very, very long time. Past presidents have always rejected the idea, knowing it was going to complicate the geopolitical situation across the entire Mideast. But Trump, under pressure apparently from Sheldon Adelson, his biggest donor, went ahead and did it. And choosing to do it on the day of the Nakba, they wanted it to coincide with the celebration, 70th celebration of Israel's independence or creation, which is also the Nakba day. That only inflamed the situation a little bit more. Plus, you have Israel's rocket attacks into Gaza and the sniper shootings during the March for Land. It almost seems like Netanyahu wants a new intifada, possibly to distract the Israeli people away from his pending corruption charges.
I was thinking he was trying to have a diversion away from his corruption charges. The other thing that I was thinking, too, like, what did this accomplish? Besides getting a bunch of Palestinians killed, what exactly did this accomplish? As far as I'm concerned,
it didn't accomplish anything. Basically, they took the existing consulate in Jerusalem and said, you are now the embassy, and they've added on some more construction to it. But it didn't really change functionality at all. It's purely symbolic.
Okay, cool. Well, you have a great and wonderful show, and please give Miss Claire the best, and we will be listening.
All right. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Richard in North Carolina. Aloha, Richard. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine.
Great. Okay. An issue that has come up in other calls you've had. By the way, I'm an old... my undergraduate work was at Kent State back in 1970, that period, so I know what I began to learn a little bit about what was really going on back then when I knew that they were ordered to fire on the other students. But anyway, I ended up graduating from Kent and several other universities, and I ended up being a forensic neuropsychologist, which is what I've now retired from being. But I wanted to comment, because it had come up a little while ago, I think, or at least something akin to it, I wanted to comment about social services for children, children's protective services and so forth that occur in a town near mine. I'm not going to say where that is, although I am in North Carolina, but that they always found a reason, because I worked closely with the children in of these families and the families themselves in many cases, they would meet all the requirements. They would do all the things they needed to do, but they would still find, social services would still find another reason to keep them in the system, which finally I realized was a racket. And it was rather disappointing, but I thought I'd call and share that with you.
Yeah, there's been a big problem. I'm sure that there are people working in these various child protective services organizations who really are concerned about cruelty to children, which is a reality out there. But the hard fact is, the more children they take in, the more money they get. And after a while, as you say, it descends into being a racket. And especially during the 1990s, at the height of the militant feminist male bash situation, I literally went to a talk being given by this lady from CPS in Los Angeles. And up on the stage, she came on out and said, all men will abuse their children. It's my job to say when. And that kind of an arrogant attitude reveals a lot of what's wrong, where CPS was being weaponized by the feminists to destroy families and to go after men. Down in San Diego, their child protective services was sued so many times for constitutional violations, the city finally just shut the whole department down, fired everybody, and restarted from scratch. So like anything else, it can be used for good purposes or it can be turned to bad purposes. It all depends on who's in charge. But that economic incentive to grab more children is a big part of the problem.
It really is. It's a great part of the problem. But I'll get off the horn here. But and next time I'm going to try to call more regularly now if I can. But I'll try to go over to other sorts of topics, the other kind that you talk about. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot, Richard. We're going to let you go. We're going to take another commercial break, and we will be right back.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Getting on back to the news here. People are looking at Mike Pompeo's speech, getting tough on Iran. And analysts are basically saying that it was unreasonable and brutal. And we know that Iran is not going to agree to all the demands that were made, in particular getting out of Syria, because Iran is in Syria with the permission of the Syrian government, unlike the United States of America. So, again, this is starting to reinforce the world's impression that the U.S. government has become a global bully or organized crime, the mafia. Do what we tell you or bad things will happen to you. Which, if you look at our manufacturing, our agriculture, and our economy in general, it's really all we have left to play with anyway. So the U.S. is out there threatening Iran, saying we will confront Iran. We're going to get tough on Iran. Forgetting the fact that Iran hasn't actually done anything. Iran has not launched a war of aggression against another country in 200 years. Yes, Iran is helping Syria. Syria asked for Iran's help. But that's it. The reason the U.S. is after Iran is, first of all, because Israel wants it. They want Iran smashed as a regional political rival. The U.S. wants Iran's oil to be sold for the U.S. dollar rather than other currencies. And the private central bankers want Iran to be enslaved to a private central bank. That's what's going on here. Iran hasn't done anything to us. Nothing at all. The U.S. is the aggressor. That's very obvious at this. Now, the Pentagon is out there also talking tough about, confronting Iran, because that will mean more money for them. The more wars there are, the more money the Pentagon gets, the faster the promotions come to the officers. Again, it's a racket, and that's not my opinion. Marine Corps Major Smedley Butler, a Major General Smedley Butler, wrote a treatise, War is a Racket. And if you have not read it, you need to hunt it down and read it. Because this was a guy who'd been there. He worked his way up the ranks to become one of the most respected Marine commanders in U.S. history. And always obeyed his orders, did what he was told. And after he retired, he looked back on his career with a great deal of honesty and objectivity and wrote down what the wars that he fought in were really all about. And it was always about corporate greed, access to natural resources, money, in other words. Over in North Korea, now we're hearing from Donald Trump that he may delay or cancel the meeting with Kim Jong-un. And they're trying to put the onus on Kim Jong-un. Mike Pence is out there saying that Trump is still considering canceling the scheduled summit, and that the talks might be off the table because Trump feels he's being played by Kim Jong-un. So the war hawks have gotten what they want. We're back to square one as far as Korea is concerned, and we may be looking at a war on North Korea. Now, in South Korea, they see John Bolton as a major obstacle to peace. They see him as an obstacle to the potential Trump-Kim summit. And basically, Bolton's talk of the Libya model in North Korea provoked a lot of fury from the North Korean government. And it's understandable. The Libyan model was simple. Libya was convinced to give up their very early stage nuclear program on the promise they'd be left alone. And then the U.S. went on in and fronted what was made to look like a popular uprising to kill Gaddafi, put Libya under puppet rule, and most importantly, to end the gold dinar, which was a threat to the U.S. Federal Reserve note. Right now, the U.S. government is fighting their own history in their foreign policy. They're out there making the same promises they've made and broken many times before. And these other countries all know it. Now, the foreign media is starting to arrive in North Korea to cover the dismantling of the country's nuclear test site later this week. Apparently, the South Korean media is scheduled to participate, has not arrived yet. Now, obviously, they're going to have to close the nuke site anyway. This is a no loss for Kim Jong-un. Their last nuclear test shattered the mountain, and it's really not safe to do nuclear testing there anymore. And I hope those reporters have got radiation meters with them, just in case. But they're going to go through the formal exercise of dynamiting all the tunnels and tearing down the buildings and say it is now formally closed. So at least Kim Jong-un is moving forward with the gestures toward peace and denuclearization. But again, unless he's got some kind of an ace up his sleeve, he's being an idiot to trust anything the U.S. government says. Down in South America, Nicolas Maduro has been reelected president of Venezuela, and he won by a two-thirds majority, larger than the polls had predicted. The voter turnout, though, was a little less than expected, less than 50%, so it's hard to say that he has a mandate. But there's absolutely no question Maduro is the democratically elected president of Venezuela, and the U.S. is going to have to deal with that. But we are hearing all this talk about restoring democracy to Venezuela. We talked about that yesterday, which is code word for overthrow the government, put in a puppet ruler. Now, addressing a late Sunday night crowd of supporters, Maduro hailed his victory as a victory over imperialism, and saying that Venezuela still enjoys the revolutionary spirit and that the revolution is there to stay. Now, when he's talking about imperialism, you know who he's referring to, because the United States has a long history of interference in South America. One of the best known, obviously, being Chile. Now, Maduro has celebrated his new victory by promptly ejecting the top U.S. diplomat in Caracas for allegedly conspiring against the government. Been declared persona non grata, and he was told to leave in 48 hours. So apparently the U.S. is already trying to find a way to destabilize the government down there. You would think after the mess that they've created in Ukraine, the U.S. government might tone down this behavior, but apparently not. Apparently not. The U.S. Army is now turning to robot soldiers. Now, they've already started bringing in robots to augment the troops. A lot of the stuff that Boston Dynamics has been building are intended for battlefield use, mostly to carry gear and equipment for the soldiers themselves, because a typical loadout for a U.S. infantry soldier runs about 50 pounds, and they try and make everything as light as possible, but it is 50 pounds with a full kit. And by having a robot that is able to carry some of that, it actually increases the range and speed that your force can move. But apparently over the next few years, the Pentagon is going to spend about $1 billion for new robots to engage in scouting, explosives disposal, sniffing out hazardous chemicals, and perform complex reconnaissance. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army Surgeon General is saying that all soldiers will be microchipped for full-time monitoring and information culling. And we've been seeing that in science fiction movies like Jurassic World, where the animal containment team, as they're being chewed up, their little heartline monitor goes flat. That's going to be a reality now. So let's talk a little bit about the domestic politics. Trump is really pushing on the Justice Department to investigate the FBI's Russia probe. And looking at the revelations that have come on out, first of all, the Christopher Steele dossier, which was just apparently just made up out of thin air, contained a lot of very salacious details, a lot of sizzle that whoever made it hoped was going to catapult it into the corporate media. But even the corporate media suspected that this was bogus, and it stayed off the radar until BuzzFeed ran it. Now we're finding out the FBI had at least one mole inside the campaign, and so we're seeing these investigations of the investigations. Now the liberals are out there screaming, Trump can't investigate the investigators while he's under investigation. That's impeachable. No, it isn't. We are clearly seeing signs of malfeasance by these top officials in the Department of Justice and the FBI, especially James Comey and John Brennan. And investigations are completely warranted. Apparently, Trump's top trade advisor, Peter Navarro, was the one who recommended Stephen Halper, the spy, to a senior role in the Trump administration. Trump is surrounded by people who are not thinking in Trump's best interest. And apparently Halper visited the Eisenhower Executive Office Building last August for a meeting about China. During the transition, everyone involved in Trump's campaign was asked to submit resumes for administration positions. Halper, who already knew Navarro in the context of being a China scholar and interviewing for his anti-China book and film, pitched himself for an ambassadorship to Asia, according to sources briefed on the interactions. Navarro says he submitted Halper's name for the ambassadorship. We've not been able to confirm the country, along with about a dozen other people for roles in the region. So Navarro is the one who brought it on in, who brought the spy in. Now, former Trump campaign advisor Michael Caputo was on Fox News Monday night, and is saying he was approached by a second government informant during his stint on the team. And Caputo was on the Ingraham Angle, and he said, "Let me tell you something I know for a fact. This informant, this person who they tried to plant in the campaign, he's not the only person who came into the campaign, and the FBI is not the only Obama agency who came into the campaign. I know because they came at me, and I'm looking for clearance from my attorney to reveal this to the public. This is just the beginning." Now, pardon all the interruptions. I'm still a little bit under the weather here. Why this is important is because this is the penultimate in political skullduggery. And along the way, it's been revealed this goes on all the time. We know that this Halper, during the Reagan years, ran a spy operation or was part of a spy operation against Jimmy Carter. And we know that Richard Nixon, during that whole Watergate affair, was using the FBI to spy on Democratic candidates and then later on the media, on the Washington Post, that was trying to cover the story. But it is, in fact, illegal to do. And it's not the way the country is supposed to be run. Congressional representatives have announced they are introducing a resolution detailing misconduct at the highest level of the Department of Justice and the FBI and calling for a second special conference. Now, Obama's former Attorney General Eric Holder is out there saying there's no basis for Trump to investigate FBI election meddling. I mean, there's nothing to see here. The Russians meddle in our elections, but it's silly to think that the FBI or the CIA would. I mean, come on. It's just a waste of time out there. A lot of people in the government are starting to really sweat here. And I'm sure that John Brennan is just freaking out over Trump's demand over this investigation, over this political spying. Because the more that comes on out about the anti-Trump team, as it were, the more and more John Brennan is front and center in all of this. It appears he was the ringleader, or in this context, the ringmaster of the circus that was going on. And we're literally seeing the government at war with itself. Because Trump is now pushing for investigations, the one thing Hillary could be counted on not to do had she won, and there's going to be pressure coming back from the Clinton-Obama machine to protect Hillary Clinton and Obama at all possible costs. So Trump, if you or one of your assets are listening to this program, you make sure you're wearing your Kevlar undies, because this is getting very serious and very, very real. And we know that this government is capable of assassinating the chief executive. New emails are showing that the FBI brass did discuss the dossier briefing details with CNN. Now, at the time, this dossier was supposed to be held private. But Washington, D.C. leaks like a colander. It was just all going on out there. And apparently Andrew McCabe was aware of CNN's internal understanding of a secret briefing about the Steele dossier. So the briefing itself was classified, but CNN was told. That's another Title 18 violation right there. Huma Abedin and her laptop and emails are back in the news again. And ever since Hillary Clinton lost the election, she's repeatedly blamed her defeat on the FBI's decision to reopen the probe into her email use after emails were found on the laptop of Huma Abedin's estranged husband, Anthony Weiner. And now the emails are back in the news, causing problems for FBI leaders because this forthcoming Inspector General report is going to fault Bureau officials for sitting on those emails in the first place. Now, Huma Abedin is out there enjoying the good life. She's going to all these glitzy things. Meanwhile, her soon-to-be ex-husband, Anthony Weiner, is in jail, serving a sentence for sending lewd photos to a teenager, which is really sick behavior. We'll be back after these few words.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Let's take some phone calls, and we're going to start with Jerry in West Michigan. Aloha, Jerry. Oh, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine.
The fellow that was on a while back there about asking about whether doctors receive the kickback or money from a pharmaceutical company, there's a real good website available to find out. Anyone can find out. Most anyone can find out if their doctor or any doctor that they can come up with a name has received any kickbacks, and it's just a simple dollars for docs, D-O-C-S. And you can pull up your personal doctor in most cases or any other doctor that you know their name. I just thought I'd let you know that in case it would be of interest.
It would be, pardon me, of interest. I just pulled the page up, and I'm seeing the title, and it's at GoDaddy, but I'm not seeing anything else, so I think the web page happens to be broken. I know there are a couple of web pages that do this because I had a serious illness some years ago, and they kept me in the hospital, I thought, too long. And then come to find out the doctor who'd been treating me was on one of these lists as getting all kinds of goodies from the pharmaceutical companies and so forth. So, again, it's a racket. So I'd like to link to this page, but apparently at the moment it is not working. So we'll have to.
Start page is my page that I go to first before I can, you know, pull up anything. It always pulls it up for me, so maybe a little more effort and you could locate it.
I found it. Dollarsfordocs.com. It's titled. It's a GoDaddy page. The page is there. It's just not working right now.
Yeah, mine's not a GoDaddy, but anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. I can still pull mine up, so hopefully it helps out.
All right, well, let me just try and see if I can find it with a web search. Thank you very much, Jerry. We're going to switch over to Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to get back to the investigations and the improprieties that have gone on against Trump and the spy put in as far back as 2016. Or 2015 even, we've got multiple agencies from DOJ, different levels, the top levels, FBI, NSA, Clapper, CIA, Brennan, National Security Council, Rice, what's her name doing the unmasking, Susan Powers, Samantha Powers?
Yes.
At the UN.
Okay, George Peter, Soros. I'm going to have to put you on hold. Yeah. I got to put you on hold. We got to do a station identification. Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you. We'll be right back after these few words.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.